Amen. If you can kneel, we'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your word, especially in regards to the gospel that helps us find our way home into the arms of your precious Son, our Savior. We also thank you for the prophetic. You know, the word is just amazing how it lets us know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we don't need to know the day or the hour. All we need to know that we're being obedient so that we can be ready for whatever comes our way. Because we know that you will protect us and bless us. And we know even as difficult as these days are and are going to get much worse, we know 1 Corinthians 10:13 applies there too. That you're not going to let us be tempted above our ability to handle it. So thank you for that hedge of angels that you always have about us. And blessing us with a desire deep inside to be obedient. And to follow you no matter what. To love you first and foremost. So thank you for blessing us with your presence on this Sabbath day. Because two or more are gathered right now. And thank you also for bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks, so you alone are glorified. And thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I was just looking at my notes for next week, and next week's sermon's going to be a bit intense. But then this one is too, in regards to what's going on and has already happened. I mean, since we have last week's sermon already online in the sermon section, I'm not going to be doing a recap because that could take 5 minutes. So let's just move ahead to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, which says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." You know, not only do we see the occult influencing the church for years now, and especially Roman Catholicism with its numerous pagan doctrines, wherein demons literally invented them so as to assure control over the churches and every person in the pews, we now see all the churches embracing so-called holy days, or as we call them today, because, you know, you don't want to talk about God in a positive sense in any way, shape, or form. Now they call them holidays, but they used to be called holy days. But I can also understand why they would change them to holidays rather than holy days, because how was Halloween holy? Well, in Rome it is, but it's not holy in Christianity, but yet all the churches embrace it. Or Christmas, how can that be holy? Well, it's just one giant blasphemy. And even Easter literally lies about not only the time of year, but the means or the reason for which he died. Because again, it's all commercialized. I mean, the sad thing is, because most don't read or even trust what they read in their Bibles, but do trust what the wolves on the pulpits preach, like it was prophesied, billions bow to Baal now, and many other minor and major demons that are running rampant all throughout the occult, just as the prophecies predicted for the lukewarm Christian of today. But none of this compares to the Vatican's influence on all the religions of the world. You know, when it comes to, you know, the most popular demon among our young people, who has recently been renamed Harry Potter. I mean, I know he's not that popular now. I mean, the kids are still reading his books, and she's still a multi-billionaire. First multi-billionaire when it comes to being an author, but you can see why the devil will bless the worldly with worldly goods. But just 6 years ago, Roman Catholic St. Andrews University stated the following, all throughout the mainstream media, so as to assure it would find a global audience and much free airplay. And some preacher or so-called theologian by the name of Stephen Holmes said, Harry Potter should be seen as a Christ-like figure because he promotes biblical values. Seriously. And they believe this stuff. Prophecy said the occult, or seducing spirits, as the Bible says, would increase near the end. And we see now that the church has placed their seal of approval upon the most wicked movie and demonic books ever known to man right into the hands of our precious little children that, yeah, this is fulfilled. And, you know, I got some write-ups about the Vatican and some old newsletters and stuff and in regards to how he spoke highly, the Pope himself. Spoke highly of Harry Potter as well. And yes, I do see these books as much more evil than even the Satanic Bible itself, because these books are geared to be embraced by children who will then grow to become adults, who will then embrace whatever the Satanic Bible spews. And this includes those that don't even read Satan's book. They don't have to. See, that's one of the prerequisites of Satanism. Do whatever thou wilt, as Aleister Crowley said. So in other words, if Satan can't get you to physically kill your baby in abortion or by shaking them to death in a drunken fit of rage, you know, as many parents have already done, he'll get you to spiritually kill them instead, so as to make their teen years so foreign to their very own parents that they can't even communicate in the least bit with the very children that they love more than anything on this earth. Okay, now for something most of us have been watching in the news the last few years, and especially lately, with the Vatican DC connection being so painfully obvious on this one. I'm surprised more people haven't revolted because of this, but I'm, of course, talking about the New World Order, which the corporate bigwigs recently renamed Trans-Pacific Partnership, that we all know will eventually grow to include the entire world under one corporate roof, wherein the Pope in Rome will rule via 10 regions he has already set up since the late 60s, just as prophecy said he would. You know, Pastor Craig did a sermon on this sermon series, actually, back in 2015 that touched on what Daniel saw in a vision concerning our day. If you're an obedient student of prophecy, you also know all about that dream Nebuchadnezzar had and how that dream was not only deciphered by Daniel, wherein he outlined every nation on earth till the end of time, thanks to the well-documented historic record wherein dates that match perfectly to that prophecy, we now know we are the very people living in the time of the end of the vision spoke of concerning the 10 toes of that statue in the dream. And no, I'm not saying we know the day or the hour of anything. When the end times began at the end of the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel, time prophecy ended. We know what's going to happen next, but the prophets never told us when. There's no date. I mean, the chronological order is there. This will happen, then that, then that, then that. That we know. But we just don't know when. But if you want a quick summary on the dream as it pertains to the historic record, see my Dream of a King page on the website when you get time. It's in box number 2, the link is in box number 2 of the sermon notes. So anyway, current events have also shown us the last few years that the powers that be have escalated their New World Order agenda at breakneck speed, and we now know how the world will be divided into those 10 regions that the vision depicted in the 10 toes talks about. I mean, these are exciting times, I got to tell you. I'm just reading Daniel and reading the newspaper just gets me going. I just love it because it's just amazing because it confirms that we're out of here soon. And I just don't like being here. I wouldn't think any Christian does. I mean, in fact, none of us talk suicidal, though. We're not like that. You know, we're going to be here and going to do the work, and some of us actually want to be part of that Gideon band so that we'll never die because we want to do the work all the way up until the time that sky splits. And so, no, death ain't part of the picture unless, of course, the Lord wants us to take a nap. That's fine. But I did a video series on this that they not only sped things up recently, they actually admitted on camera that they already split the world into 10 separate regions, just like the prophecy said. I mean, Christian prophecy is that accurate. I mean, see the video playlist link that I have in box number 2 of the sermon notes. I had to put it into a playlist because I got more than one video on it. So, but when it comes to the dream, that was actually a vision, speaking of all the nations till the close of time. It says in Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 and 43, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, then shall mingle, or they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay." And as we know, even though they made those plans to join as 10 regions under one ruler, they still can't get along with each other, and the wars keep going on like the prophecy, the other prophecies already predicted. And they're not going to cleave to one another. But check this out as to who was behind it from the start. The prophet John touches on this prophesied event, as did Daniel. In fact, Daniel and Revelation can now be read as one prophetic document when it comes to such things. I mean, because it's been open. Revelation's always been open. I mean, it's called Revelation. But Daniel was hidden until the end of time. So John was told to declare in writing by Jesus in Revelation 17:12 that the 10 horns which thou sawest, 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive powers as king 1 hour with the beast to them. So now notice the following document I posted in my June 2006 Truth Provided newsletter, of which I found from way back. I got this thing from way back in April of 1968. This is something I found back then. Well, I didn't find it in 68. I was just, you know, a little kid back then. But they actually use the same terminology found in the book of Revelation. The headline for the article, for this article excerpt, is "Adaptive Model of the Global World System." And it says this. The club, and they'll explain why they're calling it a club here in a second. It says the club had its beginnings in April of 1968 when leaders from 10 different countries gathered in Rome. The organization claims to have the solutions for world peace and prosperity. The Club of Rome has been charged with the task of overseeing the regionalization and unification of the entire world. The club's findings and recommendations are published from time to time in special, highly confidential reports, which are sent to the power elite to be implemented. And then on September 17th, 1973, the club released one such report entitled "Regionalized and Adaptive Model of the Global World System." The document reveals that the club has divided the world into 10 political economic regions, which it referred to as kingdoms. And again, this is out of my June 2006 newsletter. I think the link is in box number 2. But look at it. I mean, it's amazing just how accurate Christian prophecy is. Now do you see why so many people hate the remnant of her seed? We put forth what the Muslims or the Buddhists or the Catholics or even the Protestant churches cannot see or simply fear to proclaim due to the blood-curdling threats put forth by Rome if they do so. Better yet, the so-called holy books of the Muslims and other non-Christian religions have nary a single line of prophetic truth cover to cover. I mean, sure, they claim to have one here and one there, but look a little closer and you're going to find 100% of the time that they were first uttered sometimes centuries in advance by popes, as, you know, in the Vatican, of course. And they were not really prophecies. They were just long-term agendas of the Vatican. That's not a prophecy. I was talking about that earlier. It says, you know, there's a difference between a prophecy and an agenda. Like Nostradamus, he was mostly into agenda. In other words, this is what this church needs to do if it's going to make it for global rule. So it's not a prophecy when it's the desire of the man of sin. It's only a boast. So the nations of today will soon create a new world order wherein the planet, which is, oh, by the way, the term New World Order was first coined, if you will, by Roman Catholic Emperor Adolf Hitler. And I do have that actual quote on the Hitler page on the website. But as I was saying, the nations today are going to create that new world order wherein the planet's going to be separated into 10 separate regions on paper. They've already done it on paper, but soon it's going to be done in reality. And I also have many newsletters and web pages touching on this as well, where it looks to me like Caesar is about to stand up in Rome once again, just as he did before, with his Herod standing guard to govern every region of his empire. And no, I'm not claiming Caesar will resurrect. Caesar is seen more as a title, not a name in history. This is why you have Julius Caesar and Augustus Caesar. It's just a title. But I have a newsletter I did back in 2008 called Caesar's Herods, wherein I go into some detail about this long prophesied turn of events. That link is in box number 2, by the way, of the sermon notes as well. And just so you know, that this has been the plan all along with Rome. The Pope was placed in power. The Pope that was placed in power, by the way, just 2 years after the end times officially began as per prophetic utterance of Daniel, that Pope stated the following to all the world, which confirms Christian prophecy is just that amazing. Pope Pius IX said, "The Caesar who now addresses you is whom alone our obedience and fidelity due." And that was, again, he said that in his Discorsae on page 253. And yes, that was declared by that pope long before the wound began to heal in 1929. In fact, this pope was dead by February 7th of 1878. So again, he was just, you know, waxing prophetic, if you will, or agendic, you know, like an agenda for the demon that was moving his tongue. So the arrogance of the demons possessing these men of sin, it's just blatantly apparent in that they know their plans. And so they're going to boast of them via every lip they can control to mock the Lord on one hand and to try to scare the students of prophecy on the other hand. But an obedient student, well, no, you're not going to move them. It's not happening. So rest assured, brothers and sisters, they and their cohorts will have their day, just as the Bible says. But if we remain faithful to the end, we will have our eternity. Big difference. So now from some of the more intense signs in nature itself. It says in Luke chapter 21:11, "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Well, thanks to a brother in faith here in the church logging all the earthquakes each week, we know all too well about that fulfillment coming to fruition every Sabbath. But compile that sign in nature with what happened in 2013 when we saw a large asteroid blast the Siberian sky that was so huge, in fact, that the shock wave alone, just the sound waves, damaged buildings and injured thousands of people simply due to the shock wave that blew their windows out when they ran to the window to see what that big old bright light was all about. And as we all know how sound moves much slower than light, many people got to the windows just in time to experience the shockwave that bathed them in shards of glass. And this is why they got so many people got hurt, because the light shows up first, and then the shockwave comes. I mean, we all live on planet Earth. We know about that. It's just plain physics. So on top of this, and by the way, this is no exhaustive list, but on top of this, I'm only hitting on the highlights on this one. We now see activity on the sun, wherein scientists recently stated in writing, no less I don't know how many scientists actually, to be honest with you, but they stated in writing that we need to change how physics are taught here on Earth, because what's happening on the sun makes no sense at all, scientifically speaking. I never really looked into it because I was in a hurry, but I'm curious to see now because I kind of want to know what he's talking about there. Something strange is happening on the sun. I did look into it. That's right. It was they're claiming it looks to be that the sun is aging quicker than the atmosphere around it. In other words, it's like the sun's in a time bubble. That's what it was about. Yeah, and that's why he says the physics is kind of awkward. Well, I don't know. Maybe because of the heat that's involved. See, we don't know it all. It's all how the Lord creates. And so could it be that that intense amount of heat, that nuclear fusion, I mean natural nuclear fusion, as only our God can create, wouldn't that kind of bend things a little bit if you think about it? I mean, look what black holes do. But anyway, we also see these scientists reporting that Mars now has clouds forming on its polar regions, as if it has some sort of atmosphere. And this is probably why they sent those robots out there. But and Mercury now has a new magnetic polarity that's very noticeable now. And those of us with telescopes now, that we'd see the rings of Saturn and stuff like that. I mean, you can literally see the rings of Saturn certain times of years with just binoculars, but they're pretty neat when you look through a telescope. But those rings are changing along with a new ring. But the new ring is an X-ray field. And they never seen it before. Venus is now showing massive heat-filled regions all of a sudden. Uranus is completely covered in a green cloud now that's generating massive storms. Not global storms, but massive ones. And asteroids, shocked me, but asteroids have suddenly appeared in our solar system that have rings around them. You know, just like Saturn does. Jupiter now has many global storms erupting. That's why I made a difference between massive, because Jupiter, it's a huge planet, and it's got these global storms, and that's insane. Neptune's clouds are literally disappearing for some odd reason as we speak, and then Pluto. And now, get this. Even though it's supposedly moving away from the sun, it is somehow experiencing a real global warming of 300% increase. Pluto, how come that's heating up? And it's the furthest one from our sun, and it's even moving away. So compile all those signs in the heavens with the blood-red moons that have been frequenting Earth that, and you guessed it, have spawned all sorts of false prophets with large followings. But are you sitting down? And I touched on this before, but astronomers have stated in writing some time ago, and I have the info on my very near the end sermon series, and the link's in box number 2, by the way. But they have viewed in their massive telescopes what appears to be a cloud coming from or coming towards Earth from the Orion Nebula. Is that the cloud Christ will arrive on? No, I don't think so. But what I see very amazing about this is the fact that it's coming from the nebula itself. So is the Lord preparing his approach? Well, yeah. I have no doubt he is. How long is it going to take? Well, that's something no man, woman, or child on earth could tell you, because only the Father knows that date. And so next, we look at the economy. And how, even here, you can see prophetic fulfillment. It says in James chapter 5, verse 3, that your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Thanks to the strange and long-expected activity of the elite the last few decades, and the so-called 1% protesters, making their existence known among the common man now, pretty boldly a few years ago, we have all seen how the rich get richer and the poor get much poorer. And some of these men have more money than they or their families can spend in multiple lifetimes. They've heaped treasures, heaped them, literally, to the point where they can't spend them. But we have yet to see rock-hard evidence that the mega-rich, rather, are actually hoarding their wealth until now. I mean, due to the many man-made problems in the global economy, most large corporations are not only in a hiring freeze, they're actually laying people off so as to hoard the cash in the hope of staying liquid in an event of another economic crash. And so there it is. They've heaped their treasures again. I mean, it's one thing to heap it just by having so much money in the bank, but to literally stop hiring people, to keep that heap, yeah, that's what the prophecy's talking about. So the thing is, even if this last so-called economic crash happened, which it was all manufactured, it was obvious. Some guy did a video on this years ago, and I can't remember the video, so please don't ask me where it's at, but I remember watching it, and he says, there's nothing wrong with the American economy. There's just way too much money coming out of this country with the people and the taxes and whatnot, but they can manufacture the media, or they can manufacture the economy to appear to be faltering just by using the media so they can generate even more income for themselves. But like I said, even if there was a so-called economic crash, most of the elite still made money because they have the ability to move the stock market in such a way wherein they can hedge their bets in advance. And what I mean by that is they actually buy in with such huge numbers, or even sell out, if you will, in massive numbers, so as to drive down the economy or raise up the economy in certain areas of the market wherein they can buy in bulk or even sell in bulk. And they could do this in ways that most men can't even dream about. It's just crazy money. And so when they push the sold stocks back into the market, it just increases their values per share so as to assure them a massive payday. And they actually do this with each other, too. You know, one guy will sell to one guy, and the other guy sell to, back to his friend so that they can both, you know, in other words, you sell low and I'll buy when it's low, and then when it goes high, we'll split the profits. I mean, it's crazy what they're doing. But a fat lot of good that's going to do them when that eastern sky rips wide open. I mean, they chose the wrong means by which to prepare. And they're going to do it anyway. But what about the present truth message, as well as the gospel itself being proclaimed? Is there anything in prophecy stating that this too is going to be, we'll see an inflow of blessings and obedient Christians with a message that goes global? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 24:14 that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Well, check out this quote I first shared many years ago in my book, People Get Ready. It says this, and this is from Kenneth Latourette from the Christian Outlook in the New York Harper and Brothers 1948 on page 200 and 201, it says. And I'm not going to read both pages, just a little extra. I don't know why they do that. Maybe it's just dangling on the bottom of one page and the top of the next. But it says, as never before is it possible to acquaint men around the world with the gospel. The many means of communication, the radio, the airplane, added to the seemingly more prosaic contributions of earlier days. The printed page, the railway, the steamship, and the automobile makes physically feasible the reaching of all men. Christian communities in almost every land and among almost every tribe and nation provide, as never before, nuclei for the spread of the faith. Now, keep in mind, this is back in 1948. We now have, and for those of you that have been with us for years, yeah, you've heard this before, but there's some new people here, and this is why the Lord would have me share it. But we now have satellite communication, enhanced radio ability, cell phones, and of course the internet to help spread the gospel the world over. This end time prophecy speaks of it's coming soon. I mean, this end, we're right there on the precipice, if you will. But now for something I was blessed to proclaim via the site, newsletters, and even the radio back when I was on AM and FM and satellite and all that stuff. The One World Church. And, or as Rome calls it, the World Council of Churches. And I'm going to start this with this sermon. I'm going to end it with the next. Because the One World Church has to come so that the One World Court System can be realized as well. But I'll cover the court later, next week, if the Lord would have me do it. So anyway, on June 26, 2000, the United Religions Initiative came to its official beginning, and just like I reported back in April of 1999 when the beast in Rome received its one world court system because it came from, you know, then. So anyway, not too long after, we see them working hand in hand with the infant New World Order, which most call the United Nations, so as to officiate the necessary legalities involving in creating a one world court or church system. Some wonder as to how this United Religion Initiative will convince the other religions of the world that they need to join together as one church, regardless of the fact that they do not worship the same God. Did you see that article that just came out? I think Brother Daniel sent it to me this morning. Let's see. I thought the link was bad, but their site must have had like a server hiccup. But the headline, I'm not going to read it. I just went back to my email and it says, this is the Pope talking. He says, it's not my Jesus versus your Jesus, but our Jesus. And the Pope said that to an ecumenical group. And look at the list. And they keep pointing out the list in these articles. There's a big list of all these different churches that are involved. They're right there, smack in the middle. Seventh-day Adventist Church is saying that the Jesus of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the same of the Vatican. Because the Pope's saying it's our Jesus, just like the prophecy said. So, but as we know that this, you know, this ecumenical movement of Vatican II Council from the 60s, I believe it was the 1962 or whatever, it was done slowly but surely, church by church and nation by nation, show us to allow them to have that United Religion Initiative meeting like they did in 2000. And as many witnessed over the decades, the popes in Rome needed to preach that Jesus is not the only way to get to heaven. So they can get the other people in, but now it's all about Jesus again, right? Why? Well, the Antichrist is coming. And so prophecy declared in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, which says they will preach another Jesus unto the world, also came into fruition at the exact same time, but no one caught it because it was bathed on so many other prophetic events, which is fine. It's okay. It doesn't all have to come one at a time. You can have two or three, you know, that's amazing to see it at the same time. But I go into detail, of course, on that in my Characteristics of Antichrist page. The direct link to that section is in box number 2 of the sermon notes. But preaching the counterfeit Jesus was already done with the 1.2 billion Catholics. Their next task was to reach the Protestants, as well as the Muslims. And so we started to see numerous infiltrated, you know, Jesuits going into all these so-called Protestant churches proclaiming that the Vatican's version of the gospel with the counterfeit Jesus, and it was real. And just the last few years alone, the Protestants, and this includes the World Council of Church members in the SDA Church, have declared Allah is God to the Christians and supposedly the father of Jesus to the Muslims. And now the Chrislam movement has come into reality. And this was a prophecy most never saw coming. In fact, only the obedient students of prophecy spoke of it on it before, during, and now years after it formed as a prophesied fact, yet everyone else missed it, including the so-called prophecy understanding Ninth Hour Church. But it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." And just so you know, it also says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" And see, here's the rub. A lot of Catholics will say, well, we're believers. But according to my Bible, they're non-believers. Anybody that disobeys Christ doctrinally, you know, we know what it says in Isaiah 8:20. So if they don't believe how it is written, they're non-believers. They can claim they're Christians all they want. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 predicted they would. But they cannot be considered your brothers and sisters in the faith if they're going directly against that which is written. In fact, there's many verses that speak against what the Pope and now all the Protestant churches have done when it comes to stretching their hands across the gulf to make friendly relations with the prophesied man of sin. But yet they do it all because Christian prophecy is that accurate. That's the thing that really blesses my heart. And just so you know, many people are unaware of this fact, and I did a radio thing back in 99 on this as well, but were you aware that the Pope was unofficially elected as the One World Church leader in 1999 before it was actually formed? That's right. They did demographic research to test the waters to see if everyone, and this includes the Ninth Hour Church, would bow before the Pope in worship, and they all did. And so that allowed them to, you know, within just 1 year, bring out, you know, June 26, 2000, One World Church. I'm going to close with this article that was posted the year prior to see if the people were ready to do. This is why it was posted. This is the one I was talking about in 99. And this was more or less testing the waters. It says this. The headline is, "Churches agree that Pope has overall authority." Well, they never did. But they put it out there like that, so that the ones, well, not all of them, I mean, some of them did, but not all of them did. And when you put it out there like that, it makes it look like they all have, so as to make it that much easier to just have a big old group hug. But it says, "The Pope was recognized as the overall authority in the Christian world by the Anglican and Roman Catholic Commission yesterday, which described him as a gift to be received by all churches." Again, overall authority in the Christian world. There's only two churches talking here, the Anglicans and the Catholics. But they're making it look like everybody's on the same page now. Goes on, it says, "If a new united Christian church was created, it would be the Bishop of Rome who would exercise universal primacy." Twice they're using that word universal, which in Latin is Catholic. Going on, it says, "The 43-page document, The Gift of Authority, has been produced by the 18-member Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission after 5 years of debate. The commission concluded that the Bishop of Rome had a specific ministry concerning the discernment of truth." That's sad. But anyway, and accepted that only the Pope had the moral authority to unite the various Christian denominations. And when if you're here for next week's sermon, you'll understand why that was put there. Because of the one world court system, which is called the Roman International Criminal Court, wherein heresy and unbelief are considered crimes. And they an archbishop actually said that as such. Anyway, it goes on. It says, Mark Birchall, a member of the Church of England Evangelical Council, said, "It speaks as if the Bishop of Rome has always been on the side of the angels, while it is well known that for several centuries past, the Bishop of Rome was certainly not." And then the right so-called Reverend Cormac Murphy O'Connor, and by the word, to use the title Reverend before the name of a man is blasphemous, because the Bible says, Reverend and holy is thy name, saith the Lord. So they're blaspheming, just like the Pope calling himself Holy Father. So they truly have made an image to Rome here, in all ways. So anyway, Bishop of Arundel and Brighton and the other co-chairman added that the primacy of the Pope is a gift to be shared. And again, that was from the Electronic Telegraph from the United Kingdom back in 1999. And so, did you notice, though, the word universal? I mean, that's just Catholicism in English. Well, Catholicism is Latin, and then universal is the English translation. But anyway, the three frogs of Revelation 16:13 are now jumping on the same lily pad. I mean, what Protestants protested in the not-so-distant past, they're now embracing, just as prophecy said they would. That's why they're on that lily pad. And back when I did the radio spot on the newsletter and the newsletters on this, I stated that all the churches of the world would sooner or later be under the control of the Roman Catholic Church, or be literally annihilated if they refused. And who would have thought it would have happened so quickly, so that by 2016 we have Muslims, Buddhists, Catholics, Protestants, and even SDAs all worshiping another Jesus in the Vatican cathedrals and declaring as such with pride in global articles for all to see, with their names in bold print. Well, not bold, but it's just out there in print where everybody can read it. Sure, as students of prophecy, we saw this coming. But again, this went down at breakneck speed, and I praise my God I was able to watch it before, during, and after fulfillment. It just bolsters my faith, as I'm sure it does every Christian. And how is the Pope able to get these things done so quickly? Well, besides the network of demons that are like little birds flying from soul to soul, the political network that was bolstered off the chart by John Paul II, I think the Vatican had... I think it was like in the 30s, 30-something nations in their hip pocket right before John Paul II was elected, and I say elected, Pope by man. By the time he died, I think it was 175 nations, yeah. And that's why they had to have a young Pope, because they knew they were going to spread him out there. They needed to have him out there for 25 years at least. And that's why John Paul I and John Paul II were very young men. That was they usually, you know, these popes often get elected in their 80s, 70s, late 70s, early 80s. But this wasn't the case with John Paul II or with John Paul I. John Paul I, of course, was murdered because he found out what was going on, and within 33 days he was dead. And so it's just like with the Masons. You get to a certain plateau, and then they test you as you go from plateau to plateau. And when you get to a certain area, they know by then that you're going to go along and be on the same page as them. But sometimes it don't work out that way, and then they got to take you out. And so, but John Paul II helped them, and it bolstered their speed. And the fact that they have Jesuits in every denomination now, but the remnant, they haven't been able to get in here because... You know, we're a remnant of our seed. We're small and we're split up. The Lord's got us, you know, strategically placed all around the world in little home churches. You know, like when you see, there's a lot of people that are in here now. Yeah, some of us are here one at a time, but there's people in here that have many families with them as they're joining us for worship. And of course, the people around the other side of the world that join with us, that listen to the sermons while we're sleeping. Like this sermon will be shared next week. Around the world and other countries on Sabbath morning. Their Sabbath morning, which is what I think would either be our Sunday morning or Friday evening. I get confused about this round world scenario. But anyway, but still, along with that political, you know, conveyor belt, if you will, for John Paul II, for lack of a better word, he's, you know, the Vatican is now using internet, satellites, and all power of the military, intelligence, and the, you know, of the second beast of Revelation, that being, of course, the United States of America. But they can get it done much faster now than anyone could ever imagine. That's why all this stuff's happening so quickly. But watch. But what Malachi Martin said many years ago in his book, The Keys of This Blood, makes it painfully obvious how the Pope was able to get this all done so quickly. Now, check this out. And I'll more or less close with this. It says, he said in The Keys of This Blood, he said that the Pope will not tolerate any belief systems that oppose his, not on a civil or church level. Oh, wait, this isn't the right quote. Well, I got to use this in next week's sermon. But yeah. Yeah, I'm going to put this, yeah, because I thought this was the only quote I used. I have another quote where he actually says, I got to dig it up, though. I'll put it in the notes if I have to. But the Pope knows by Saturday, that's what it was. It was, the Pope knows by Saturday what's going to happen on Monday anywhere in the world. And this was stated in, I think, the 1960s. Well, now he probably knows by Wednesday what's going to happen the following Monday anywhere in the world. Because not only the political connections, but the speed of the internet helping him get all the information he needs at, you know, at breakneck speed. But yeah, this thing here about the keys of this blood, I'm going to have this is part of my, you know, with that one world court system situation. But I'll read it anyway. It says that the Pope will not tolerate any belief systems that oppose his, not on a civil or church level. In John Paul II, the world will behold a tyrant who will coldly execute direct orders against those who he deems are heretics or immoral. Moreover, like this, like his papal predecessors, John Paul II will carry out his godly mandate in the name of Christ, or perhaps Mary. May God help us all. And that was stated by Kathleen Hayes in the book Pope John Paul II Revives the Inquisition. Because he did. Before John Paul II died, he reopened the office of Inquisition and changed its name to the Holy Office. Now think about this. The Pope not only controls the entire, you know, everybody in the One World Church as of June 26, 2000, he is also the only one standing in the position as the one who holds the keys to the One World Court system as well. But that's where we're going to pick it up next week. And so I hope and pray that you are blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. And sorry about messing up that last quote, but I thought I had the one about the knowing in advance thing. So hope and pray you're blessed.
There is coming a day when no holiday shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore.
Amen. Please kneel. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for letting us know in advance what's headed our way. And thank you for giving us the means by which to prepare. And no, we don't need like a Y2K cabinet. We don't need to stockpile food or anything like that. We need all that you would have us be blessed with to be prepared spiritually. Because we know when it comes time to run that you're going to spread a table for us in the wilderness anyway. Be it manna or just something growing on the ground. So thank you for blessing us and keeping us till that day. And for giving us when we fall short and giving us a deep desire in our hearts to please you and to strive on to that perfection that would allow us to be part of that number. So let the rain fall, Father, if we are so worthy. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.